You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase on this Feel Good Friday. Beautiful day. Fell asleep early last night? No worries. I got you. Here's the latest NBA headlines. The Brooklyn Nets, Stephen A., the Brooklyn Nets, the Kings of New York, have dropped four straight. What? Falling to the Blazers, Bucks twice, and then the Mavs last night. Anthony Davis, he can't catch a break. After missing a couple months with a calf and an Achilles, Davis left the game last night versus the Clippers with back spasms. We'll have more on that in a moment. And then there's LeBron James, who says he's not 100%, and he isn't confident he'll ever be 100% again.
Over the last 6 weeks, that's all I've been doing, is having the urgency to get back and play. I knew I would, getting back to 100%, it's impossible. I don't think I will ever get back to 100% in my career.
All right, so here's the good news, fellas. He is expected to be back on the court next week from that high ankle sprain that's left him sidelined of late. Max,
yes.
Is LeBron James on the decline?
You're asking me, Molly, if I've learned my lesson, not just with the cliff with Tom Brady, but once upon a time when KD won MVP during the regular season, and I said, well, wow, and he really deserved it. I guess LeBron's not the best in the world anymore. And then the playoffs came, he proved me wrong, he's still the best. And then Steph did it, same story. The league has changed, it's Steph Curry's world. And they won 73 games, and then LeBron proved me wrong again. And most recently, Stephen A., I don't know if you remember, but let me remind you, I know your memory is fuzzy on these things. I actually said that Kawhi Leonard was better than LeBron because LeBron was hurt, getting older. Kawhi just won finals MVP. And then the dust settled for the playoffs, and I was proven wrong again. So you would think, after being burnt by LeBron so many times, I would have learned my lesson, but you would have thought wrong. It's straight from the horse's mouth. LeBron says he doesn't think he'll ever be 100% again. And why is that relevant now? Well, in the regular season, I didn't think he was the best player in the world game for game. I thought that was Embiid. And then I thought it was James Harden. And Stephen A., I don't see how the Lakers make it out of the first round given all the injuries. He will not have the playoffs to remind everyone. And next year he'll be 37. If James Harden, for example, comes back and is healthy and the Nets go on a rampage, as I anticipate they will, and James Harden is the reason, given the way he played in the regular season, he may have taken the crown. I think LeBron is in decline by his own admission.
So,
it's sad, right?
I'm just, it's hard. I mean, there are so many times that I think his basketball is the license to talk basketball should be stripped from him. It's just really amazing. If you're talking about there's a decline in the level of athleticism because LeBron doesn't have the ops on a continuous basis that he had when he was younger, okay, I get that. But this would be the same Max Kellerman that applauded the greatness and accentuated the greatness of Michael Jordan because of how he adjusted once his athleticism diminished to some degree, but there were other elements that came shining from his game. He also applauded Kobe Bryant for the same thing, but we're ignoring that from LeBron James. LeBron James is averaging 25 and nearly 8 assists and 8 rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. At age 36, in his 18th season, he got his knee twisted up against Atlanta a month and a half ago. He's missed more than 20 games. We get all of that. And because of that, we're going to look at him and we're going to say there's a decline. We've already acknowledged that if LeBron James were healthy, first of all, they wouldn't be battling for some playing spot. If LeBron James were healthy, the Lakers would be a top 3 seed in the Western Conference. We all know it because that's pretty much where they were before he went down. We understand that. We understand it even with Anthony Davis and with the other pieces that they have on the Lakers, which isn't much. If LeBron was healthy, we'd be talking about, are they going to the conference finals? We know this. We know this. Max had them as his favorites to come out of the West because of LeBron James. And that was a month and a half ago. Okay? So all of a sudden, he's out due to an injury. and the person that you had going to the finals, their slippage, it doesn't make any sense. Here's the reality of the situation. LeBron, a matter of fact, just yesterday, I talked about a bunch of names. Who did Max Kellerman have as the best point guard in basketball?
LeBron. He also had him as the most terrifying player when you were off with Kendrick Perkins, who is going to join us.
These are all the things that Max said. Now, I brought up stuff he said weeks ago. You just validated what he said 24 hours ago. Yeah. This is
none
Max.
Of that's contradictory.
Okay, so again, the point that I'm making is you're talking about slippage. What slippage? In the end, your impact on the game, your numbers, what you bring to the table, all of those things matter. And last time I checked, when it comes to LeBron James, it's pretty much the same, which is why we marvel at the man's greatness.
All right. Max likes to touch hot stoves. That's what I heard many times. Kendrick Perkins, NBA champion, joining the conversation. Perk, get in on this. Is LeBron on the decline? You just heard the two fellas.
Well, first of all, Molly, I thought we already addressed this, okay? And Stephen A., I don't know why you're getting so worked up about Max. You know, I had a saying a while ago about maybe a year ago that if, you know, you put a bird in Kyrie Irving's brain, you know what the bird is going to do? It's going to start flying backwards, okay? And when you think about Max Kellerman, okay, and you take his brain and you put it in a bird and ask him something about the game of basketball, you know what the bird is going to do? It's going to dive straight down and start digging a hole into the ground. That's just where it's at. Because when you talk about a decline in your basketball game, that means that you're actually watching the game and you're seeing that LeBron James is not capable of doing what he has done in the past. And that's not the case. We're talking about a guy that we continuously talk about every single year, saying, hey, he's getting older. And then all of a sudden we're talking about he's in the MVP conversation. How is he still doing this? How is he still dunking and snatching the screws out the rim? How is he still moving with brute force and great speed up and down the floor? How has he elevated his game? We heard one of his former teammates, one of his good friends in the NBA, a guy he won two championships with not so long ago, Dwayne Wade, come on national TV and say, this is the best basketball that I've seen LeBron James play. And this was at the age of 35. And this year, coming into this season, he was right there again in the MVP conversation. And all of a sudden, he sprains his ankle, Max, and you believe him when he says that he will never be 100%. But, Max, let me give you something, okay? I grew up in the hood, okay? The country, all right? And in the country, sometimes you go to what you call, quote-unquote, little hood dice games, okay? And if you're not caught up on game, and I'm giving you free knowledge right here, they have these certain players in there that may roll a dice and they just spin them. It's called locking the dice, okay? And if you don't catch them, they're going to burn you out of all your money. You one of them guys, Max. They'll tell you, hey, Big Perk, bring Max with you every single time because we going to get him. Because you wouldn't be smart enough to say, nah, y'all better shake them dice up and roll them up out there. You wouldn't be smart enough to catch that. So for me
What's
to come
the dice
on here,
game where you're from, blood, Perk?
Yeah, but for me to come on
you
here and get
CeeLo?
My blood pressure up already early this morning, because you're believing what LeBron James said. You just don't get what he's doing, right? A sprained ankle? This is not an Achilles tear.
Perk,
this
the
is
reason,
not an ACL tear.
Perk.
This is nothing that's – I mean, I'm not saying it's not serious, but this is not something that LeBron James is not going to bounce back from, Max.
All right, there's a bunch of confusion here apparently I have to clean up. The reason the bird would start digging the hole in the ground is out of frustration because no one seems to understand – very simple stuff. If LeBron is in decline, it doesn't necessarily mean he's not still the best, because LeBron was twice as good as anyone else when he was at his best. He may still be a little better than everyone else. Maybe. That's number one. Usually he has the playoffs to prove that. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I'm scared the Lakers aren't going to get out of the first round. That's one. Number two, part of aging is injury. In fact, that's a lot of decline. Aging, in fact, is almost a code word for injury. Your muscles don't recover as fast. You get more brittle. LeBron never missed big chunks of seasons to injury before. And now, in two of his last three seasons, he's missed weeks and weeks and weeks to injuries. So, yes, that is part of the decline.
Max Kellerman.
I don't know what that looks about.
First of all, I will tell you what that look is about. Number one, somewhere along the way, Molly, maybe she needs to throw this in your ear since you don't hear it from somebody else. Somewhere along the way, Max Kellerman, if you repeatedly have to explain yourself and what you mean, maybe the problem isn't with those of us listening. Maybe it's with your presentation and delivery, which comes across a bit convoluted, dare I say, from time to time. It's you that has a problem stating the obvious. It's you that has a problem being direct. It's you that has a problem with being succinct and to the point. The bottom line is this. You just finished saying, I'll give you a perfect example. You just finished saying, LeBron James, just because there's some slippage, it doesn't mean he's the best. But on this show, we hear you raving about certain people. It could be Russ. It could be Steph. It could be Kyrie. It could be James Harden from a few minutes ago. It could be Kevin Durant. It could be Joel Embiid. It could be, the list goes on and on. And you've talked about how phenomenal and elite and great they are. But you say LeBron has slipped, but he's still better than them. Well, damn. I mean, the fact of the matter is that where's the evidence that he slipped if he's still better than the superlatives you threw on the individuals you mentioned?
I'll answer. That's not hard. In the second three-peat, Jordan wasn't as good overall as he was in the first three-peat. He was much more athletic in the first three-peat. He was still better than everyone else. That he was still better than everyone else. LeBron may still be better than everyone else, even in decline, even still. But usually he has the playoffs to prove it, and I don't believe he'll be able to prove it playoffs.
Are you not the one that when LeBron James got hurt, a couple of years ago, KP, when the Lakers missed the playoffs, KP, Max Kellerman said he's no longer the best in the world.
Correct.
Because he was hurt and he missed it. And I said, Max, how do you dismiss it when you haven't played? When he comes back, let's see what he does. You were like, no, he's no longer the best. But the Greek Freak was on Thursday,
right,
but by that Monday, he wasn't the best.
It's quite possible I haven't learned my lesson. Or it's quite possible it will finally catch up with him.
LeBron averaging 25 points per game. That's only two less than his career average. Perk, you're going to be back with us later. We're not done with this.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
The Aaron Rodgers-Packers drama can be traced back to the 2020 draft, where the Packers decided to trade up to select quarterback Jordan Love. This, despite coming off a 13-3 season. That may have motivated Rodgers, because last year he threw for 48 touchdowns en route to his third MVP. Still, the Packers would lose in the NFC Championship game to Tom Brady and those Bucks. And now on draft day last week, our own Adam Schefter announcing that Rodgers does not want to play for the Packers again and has requested a trade. RC, with some very interesting comments, Ryan.
When we spoke about Peyton Manning, what was it? It was about how cerebrally he approached the game, his study, right? His work, his dedication to the sport of football. We never talk about that with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there's something that goes on in that building that says, you know what? Once he's not one of the best throwers of the football we've ever seen, then his love for the game, his dedication for the game isn't the same that allow him to play till 45.
Max, talk to me.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to play until he's 45. He's only 37. I keep saying 38 because, hey, he's going to turn 38 this season. Stephen A. pointed out earlier in the week, actually, he doesn't turn 38 until December. So it's really his third age 37 season. And I think it's quite reasonable, given that there is the argument, Stephen A., that when you, it's the curse of the gifted. When you're so gifted, you don't have to learn the fundamentals, like less gifted athletes, right? But there's another argument. When you have a broad base of skills, in other words, you can do a lot of things and you're athletic, you have more things to fall back on so you can decline for longer and have a longer career. I would say this. I think it's pretty safe to say, given how many quarterbacks have performed well until right around the age of 40, that we don't have to look at Aaron Rodgers as Tom Brady. He'll be 43 and still elite. If he just does this till he's around 40, that's four more seasons. Stephen A., four more seasons is enough to pay him, guarantee him $40 million a year and give him the highest guarantee in the history of football. Make it over $150 million. So RC may be right, but who has ever played till 45? If Rodgers just makes it to 39, 40 at more or less this level, even a little less, that is plenty.
Well, that's not the issue. The issue is responding to what Ryan Clark had to say about Aaron Rodgers. And for me, when he broke down what he broke down, he said his love and dedication for the game isn't the same. That will allow him to play until he's 45, and how you're not hearing people talk about him and the cerebral element that he brings to the game of football or whatever. Here's what I would say to Ryan Clark, who y'all all know we all love and respect the hell out of. He does a great, great job for us. But I would challenge Ryan Clark on this. You are a Super Bowl champion. You also lost the Super Bowl. Who'd you lose to? Did that quarterback that you lost to, whose name was Aaron Rodgers, did that look like somebody that didn't have and didn't grasp an elite understanding of the game? I don't think that's the Aaron Rodgers I saw. And Aaron Rodgers has been in the NFL for 16 years.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
And I'm just saying, he's been in the NFL for 16 years. First 3 years he sat down. The last 13 years, he has been a starting quarterback in the National Football League. In those 13 years, let's go to the last 11. In 11 years, could you name four quarterbacks better than Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Each year?
No.
I'm not even talking overall. Year after year after year, for 11 years, he has been a top five quarterback in the National Football League. And the last 10, he has served as the greatest talent we've ever seen at the position, maybe, this side of Patrick Mahomes. That is it. And so for me,
Ryan's not saying that. Ryan's just saying that he might not have the same love for football.
What I'm saying is, okay, what I'm trying to say is, how do we say something like that when a guy has done so much at such an elite level? You got to remember, Aaron Rodgers has had to deal with a lot, for example. I think it's well documented. His parents were relatively very, very religious, and as a result, that was something that was difficult for him to vibe with. When his brother was on The Bachelor, he was talking about him, for crying out loud. I mean, this dude has had to deal with a lot of stuff. Okay, he hasn't been he's introverted, but in terms of being insulated, the way that Drew Brees was to a degree, Tom Brady was to a degree, and others, Aaron Rodgers hasn't had that.
Well,
the only evidence we have for Aaron Rodgers is that when that brother steps on the field, he's one of the elites we have ever seen consistently year after year after year. And that's where I would challenge Ryan Clark to provide a better explanation than what he provided.
Max?
Well, I would say it sounds to me like people are assuming that since Aaron Rodgers has options, maybe he loves things that aren't football too, more than another player who might just, you cut open their head, you see a football, that's all you see in there, and that's the kind of guy you want, right? And that's not Aaron Rodgers. So I understand why intuitively it seems like, well, if he's not 100% in love with football and only football, how is he going to age? How is he going to continue to run through the brick wall? Because it's a brutal sport. Even at the quarterback position, really, as much as that's changed. And I get that. And maybe that's true when he approaches 40, 41, 42. My point is, one, that's a long ways away. And two, it doesn't, just because someone has other interests or isn't thinking only about football, doesn't mean they don't have the capacity to love football just as much as someone else who only thinks about football. I mean, You ever hear of someone having like more than one kid, right? You think you love the one kid any less because you have two? So Aaron Rodgers may have more interest than just football. That don't mean he doesn't love football.
I'm just at a struggle. I don't understand how anybody could even question that. I would hope he has other interests. If you're living in Green Bay 6 months out of the year, my God, don't you want to have other interests? I mean, are you kidding me?
I know, but it's comparing to guys like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady that supposedly like eat, breathe, and sleep football. I get what he's saying.
You sure about that? I mean, Peyton Manning. Look at Peyton Manning on ESPN Plus. Does that look like somebody that all he ever cared about was football with all the interest he has going on?
Just playing devil's advocate.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Paging Kendrick Perkins, who had some thoughts earlier in this week on which league was harder to win a title, NBA or NFL. Perk tweeting this, no disrespect to the NFL, but it's way harder to win an NBA championship than it is to win an NFL Super Bowl, in my humble opinion, and don't at me. Don't ever at people. All right, we now welcome Kendrick Perkins back to the show, along with Jeff Saturday, two champions in their respective sports. I'm going to start with you, Kendrick Perkins. Can you please further expound upon your point that it's harder to win an NBA championship?
Well, Molly, first of all, I said what I said, okay? I'm going to make that very clear, okay? But when you look at an NBA, the road to an NBA championship, okay, you have to beat a team four times in a seven-game series. I don't think people realize how hard that is in itself, okay? And then you have to do that four times, which makes up the number to add up of 16 games that you have to win. That is the entire football season that you have to win in the playoffs in order to capture an NBA championship. Now, look, I've been getting a lot of clap back from a lot of football players, my guys, Ryan Clark, Dan Orlowski, all across the board. We totally disagree with you. You're dead wrong. And I'm not wrong, because here's the fact of the matter. All right, just take this Super Bowl this year, okay? And I'm not downplaying Tom Brady, because to me, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest to ever do it. But when you look at the NFL and the direction that the NFL is going at the quarterback position, it's a dual threat quarterback is what teams are looking for, or what teams have. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, the list goes on. From looking at the draft, right? Tom Brady is not a dual-threat quarterback. Tom Brady is 43 years old. Tom Brady is on the borderline of being a senior citizen, okay? And he went down to Tampa Bay and delivered a championship, a guy that probably couldn't beat me and Big Marcus Spears and Damian Woody in a 40-yard dash, okay? And then he gets his guy, Gronk, who comes out of retirement, okay, and comes in and delivers in great fashion. Let me take you to history. Just one second. When you look at Michael Jordan, when he went to the Washington Wizards, it's equivalent almost to Tom Brady. Michael Jordan was 39 years old. He could not even make the playoffs in the NBA. Okay, take it a step further. Look at Michael Jordan when he took the year off and he came back. He got spanked. He got spanked by the Orlando Magic. You know why? Because you can't hide in the NBA. You can hide players in their faults in the NFL. In the NBA, you're at their disposal because you have to play offense and defense. It would be a coach best thing if he could sub in possession by possession, a defensive lineup, an offensive lineup, a defensive lineup. So go ahead, Saturday. I'll come back to you.
Perk. Listen, man, listen. Well, somebody help him because he's lost his mind. That's what I'm going to tell you about this NBA-NFL thing that you're talking about. Seven-game series, all this nonsense you're talking about, it takes 16 games, blah, 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 to get there. That's because every team in the NBA makes the playoffs. You play trash the first three rounds. You make a call the first round. Hey, win. We'll sweep them. We'll do this to them. We'll do that. When you're in the NFL, you got one shot. All the injuries that have gained all through the season, those show up. If your best guy ain't there, don't nobody cry for you. Hey, it's the next man up. That ain't the NBA. They can take two games off, three games off, still give yourself a chance to make it back. You can't do that in the NFL. It is literal sudden death in the playoffs. It don't get any more pointed than that. You can give me seven games, how many games? Half them games, them dudes are sitting out anyway. They don't even need to play. They don't need to play the second half. They don't need to do it because the teams they're playing ain't no good. And the NFL, to get to the playoffs, is already hard. Once you get past the first round, you have no idea who's going to win. And think about this. You brought up Tom Brady and how he won. Let's talk about how he won, because the offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs was decimated. What does that mean? As good as Patrick Mahomes is, he can't take his team to a championship. Why? Because he has to depend on 10 other guys playing their role and being successful in that. You got four others. You put one superstar on an NBA team, it completely changes the dynamics. In the NFL, it takes all 11 every time doing their job to even get them close. You bumped your head telling me it's harder in the NBA. And listen, and here's the thing. You tried to bring up Tom Brady being 43 now. The NBA ain't the same as it was in the 80s and 90s either. They ain't nearly as physical as they once were either. So the NFL, everybody's trying for longevity, to sell brands, all that kind of stuff. But don't give me the NBA it's harder to get a championship, Perk. You done lost your mind on me, man. You lost it.
First of all, this doesn't make any sense. It's almost exactly equally hard in every sport to win a championship because only one can do it. If you want to get technical, the NFL got 32 teams. The NBA got 30. It's harder in the NFL. That's number one. Number two, you guys are all rolling your eyes because, oh, that's not what we mean. But in fact, it's illogical to say anything else. But I'll talk your language right now. Perk,
thank you.
I'll talk your language right
thank
now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, okay. I need somebody at home.
I mean, damn, that we are who you talking to.
I need someone at
that's
home okay. to take
we are who you talking to.
Someone at home,
thank
please.
You for talking
please,
our language.
Okay, I'm going to break out the sock puppets now.
Please take a screenshot of all the body language
gonna,
right now
I'm
going to
break
goes.
Out the sock puppets
I'm just
now
saying,
so
admit
I can
it.
I need a screenshot of this.
I'll talk your language. We are talking to you. You should have been talking our language.
We're talking English.
You will get your turn in a second, Stephen A. You can be patient.
God.
The fact of the matter is, the NBA is the one sport where there's almost no luck involved in winning. So when you say harder, if you have the best team, you're going to win. That's almost all the time because it's a best of seven, Perk. And Jeff is right. If half the teams make the playoffs, now with the play-in, it's really two-thirds of the team makes the playoffs, the best team is always going to win. Now, that makes it harder in the other sports because it's more luck dependent. One and done tournaments in basketball and even really in football in college. Basically the same thing in the NFL. And baseball is luck dependent. Not so in the NBA. That's one. The flip of that, Jeff, is you could say this. In the NBA, you must have minimum one superstar. Only a handful of those guys, if not two. If you have two superstars, you're probably going to win or have a real good shot. If you don't have those guys, it almost never happens that you can win. Does that make it harder? Because if you're not one of the teams with multiple superstars, write it off. NFL, it can happen. NFL, you can have a quarterback who's not the best in the league and still win or compete for a Super Bowl. So which one is harder to you? Does luck mean it's harder? Because if luck means it's harder, if it's dependent on luck, then it's harder in the NFL to win than in the NBA.
Wait, I just need to recap before you go, Stephen A. So
how can you?
No, I just
how can you
based on
what he just said?
I need to recap. So Max,
I want to hear this.
No, I just want to make sure. So Max said it's in the NFL to win a Super Bowl, it involves luck. Mm-hmm. And in the NBA, there's mm-hmm. no luck. So if you're talking about luck, then it's the NFL.
It's harder. You could have the best team and still lose
so
in the NFL.
You win a Super Bowl in the NFL with luck.
Did you go to UConn? Did you go to UConn?
I did.
You go to UConn? Yeah. Let me explain.
We've won a lot of championships.
Let me explain something to you right now. You know, I applaud you sincerely for comprehending that drivel that he just made us listen to for the last 5 minutes, which makes no damn sense whatsoever. I mean, please, just get out the conversation. You can't even make any sense. Here's the deal, okay? Kendrick Perkins, I was down with you, my brother. I came into this segment. I believed. I heard what you were talking about. 4 games per series, best of 7. You know, first round, second round, third round, final. I was down with you 100%, ready to go at that guy Jeff Saturday, who I love and can't stand all rolled up into one. I love him and can't stand him every day, okay? Depending on what he says. Here's where he got me, Kendrick Perkins, where I got a flow with Jeff Saturday. Talked about today's game. And I think about how soft this putty it is. How the NBA has compromised the game with the rules that they've implemented. How you can sit up there and get called for a foul for having bad breath, for crying out loud. How soft this putty it is. I'm not talking about the athletes. They're not soft. I'm talking about the way the game is called. How we, Max and I, were just debating the other day when James Harden can throw the football, can throw a basketball pass to Kyrie Irving, who gives it to Joe Harris. Joe Harris drills a 3, and James Harden gets the assist and stuff like that. Just thinking about how the game is played. I understand the road may appear to be a bit longer, a best of 7, but when we consider what Jeff Saturday pointed out, about football being the way that it is, as physical and as violent as it is, although it's any given Sunday and anybody might have a chance to win, I do believe it comes down to it's harder to capture an NFL title because one thing can go wrong and it could cost you everything and you don't have the opportunity to make up for it because of the one-and-done format, whereas that's not the case in basketball.
Herc, before you go ahead, I just want to add one more thing. What also about the fact of super teams in the NBA? Nobody's mentioning that.
Well, look, let me address all you, like, the numbers on the house, okay? And let me tell you something. It's one game in a 7-game series that actually changes the series. You know that, Stephen A., right? Put us back so I can see everybody's faces. I need to look at everybody. Stephen A., you know this, right? Because time and time again, we have talked about one of the greatest championships in sports history when LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers came back from being down 3-1. Okay? Now, let's talk about when that series changed.
Yeah.
Right?
Current Draymond Green
the
suspension.
The series changed in one game when who got suspended?
Draymond Green.
Okay. So throughout the course of a 7-game series, you have so much to worry about. Can you stop? Can I finish? Because what you just said, that was just flat out ridiculous. Because luck and injuries plays a part in the NBA as well. Excuse me, I tore my ACL in the game 6 of the NBA Finals. I started 5 with the Boston Celtics. Never lost a playoff series when healthy. So luck does play a part and health does play a part. And then on top of that, when you're dealing with a 7-game series, okay, it's not like the NFL where you fly in or wherever you're going. If you're on the road the week before and you're there the whole week, you're talking about traveling from different cities, okay, every other day. And getting in 2-3 in the morning, and you have to take that into accountability. So what I'm saying is that, listen, Jeff Saturday, I cannot knock you for how you feel because you are a Super Bowl champ. But you haven't set in our shoes and my shoes either. And I'm an NBA champion, and I know how hard it is to win an NBA title.
In football, there's also a lot of wear and tear on the body in football. People get really beat up. All right. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. I'm going to say this one's to be continued at a later date because this was a lot of fun.
Without Max.
Yes.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Get ready for this. Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher taking a shot at Alabama coach Nick Saban earlier this week when asked what it would take to beat Alabama other than Saban retiring. Fisher replied, "We're going to beat his bleep when he's there. Don't worry." Here's Saban responding to Fisher's comments.
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know. But is that what he's talking about? Football?
He was talking about football.
Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners.
In golf. Stephen A., what's your reaction to Nick Saban's response?
Oh, first of all, I loved it. I loved it.
So good.
It was definitely apropos, and it's an indication that, you know what, I'm not taking you seriously. This is laughable. Last time I stood across the field from you, I beat you down 52-24, and when I see you October 9th in College Station, Texas, on your home turf, beautiful facilities and campus at Texas A&M, by the way. Beautiful, facility. I love it. They going to get beat down. A massacre is coming.
Last time
an annihilation. College Station. I love Texas A&M. I love that campus. But you ain't Alabama. Make no mistake about it. That was a mistake that damn Jimbo Fisher made. Now, you can make that when you get a 10-year, $75 million contract, which is what he signed a few years ago when he left Florida State, you know, to go there. And I get all
big
that.
Big time money.
But let me tell you something right now, okay? There's a reason you haven't been in that national title picture. And you know why? Because of Nick Saban and Alabama. Not just to mention that in LSU. You going down. And he's going to go down in a very, very embarrassing fashion. Jimbo Fisher done cut a check.
He set himself up.
He done cut a check that his staff and his players can't cash. October 9th, right now, okay, in May, I am announcing that October 9th, that is 1, June, July, August, September, October, 5 months and 2 days from today, a beatdown of epic proportion is coming their way.
Oh, my goodness.
You can book it. How dare him be so disrespectful? He's lucky Nick Saban just laughed at him, but he won't be laughing October 9th.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's going to be all focused, all business. That beat down coming.
Max?
Beat down coming.
This is a level of gangsterism only a few coaches can get away with. Mess around, and have everyone be like, yeah, don't poke the bear. I mean, it's not even poking the bear. It's like he's not afraid to poke anyone. You know, Belichick, Popovich could do something like that, although maybe not recently. Paul Feinbaum said recently, guys, that he believes Bill Belichick's gotten lazy in his old age compared to Nick Saban. It wasn't long ago where I was saying, are we sure Nick Saban is still by himself? Dabo Sweeney's coming, right? Look at Clemson. Who would we say is sitting on top of the hill right now, still? And Dabo Sweeney's no easy challenger to fend off. And there have been others, Urban Meyer and others, great college coaches. And yet one man sits alone on top of the mountain, and it's Nick Saban. And what he just said about a rival head coach was pure gangsterism.
Jimbo Fisher is 0-3 against Nick Saban. He's never beaten Nick Saban.
But do you know what the last score was?
And also, in his career, Nick Saban's career against his assistants, former assistants, mm-hmm. he's 23-0. He's never lost. I just want to say that. Okay.
Carry on. All right. Caesars Sportsbook released its odds to win next season's Super Bowl. A lot of teams made moves this offseason. You can take a look right there. Kansas City with the best odds, then Tampa Bay, Buffalo, L.A., San Francisco, Baltimore, Green Bay. Max Kellerman, in your opinion, what was the NFL's biggest offseason move?
It was the Kansas City Chiefs' move on the offensive line. I know I talk about O-line a lot, and it's not a sexy topic. No one, including me, knows all the offensive linemen who start in the NFL. You know, but all I know is the Chiefs' Achilles heel a couple years, a first-year Patrick Mahomes started, guys, it was the defense. It was okay. It wasn't good enough. So they got almost to the Super Bowl, which I believe they would have won. They sort of almost got there. Not quite. They revamped the entire defense, won the Super Bowl the next year. What happened the year after that? The offensive line, due to injury, I mean, Mitch Schwartz is excellent, and Eric Fisher, those guys were Pro Bowl caliber guys, but they were up there in years, and they were hurt. And as a result, Patrick Mahomes had to run for his life, and that's why they didn't win the Super Bowl. That's why. Or else they would have won the Super Bowl, in my opinion. And so what did they do? Stephen A., they put their money where their mouth was, in draft picks and in cash. They went out and signed the best guard on the market immediately to a huge contract and then traded for the best left tackle. And now the left side of that line in Tooney and Orlando Brown Jr. is locked down at the highest possible level. And then they got guys like Duvernay-Tardif and Remmers coming back. That offensive line, they had a problem. They addressed it in the biggest possible way. Biggest move of the offseason. It's the reason they'll probably win the Super Bowl.
By the way, before I answer that question, let me get back to Saban and Jimbo Fisher for a second. 45-23 the first time he faced him when he was at Texas A&M. The next year, he beat him 47-28. And last year, he beat him 52-20.
That's why I said to you, the scores.
It's just ridiculous.
It's out of beatdowns.
It's beatdowns. Okay, really, really. Now let me get to this question about the biggest offseason move in the NFL. You know what? It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, period. They kept all of their starters.
Yeah.
The reigning defending Super Bowl champions kept all 22 starters.
Yeah.
All of them.
Never happens.
I don't have to get in anything. Even Antonio Brownstein. Gronkowski's coming back. Okay. Leonard Fournette's coming back. All right. I mean, listen. OJ Howard will be healthy. The defense is state. Shaq Barrett and the crew. They're remaining intact. Everybody's back. There's nothing else to say.
Run it back. That's the one last thing we got to say there. Run it back. It's absolutely unbelievable. All right, guys, I got another one for you here. A video surfaced online yesterday of Floyd Mayweather having a confrontation with Jake Paul, who's the brother of Mayweather's next opponent, Logan Paul. In the clip, Paul snatches off Mayweather's hat, and the two appear to get into a little scuffle there. Max Kellerman, you are the voice face of boxing. Is Jake Paul good or bad for the sport of boxing, the sweet science that you love so much?
He can be good if boxing people embrace the extra eyeballs that are going to be on the sport. People who are complaining, oh, it, you know, devalues and it turns it into a sideshow. Boxing's already marginalized. You ask guys like Mike Tyson and Oscar De La Hoya or Charlo, Jermell Charlo, Stephen A., what they think of the Paul brothers. They're bringing attention to the sport. Hey, I want to fight on the undercard. People will be watching me. And I'll tell you who else I'll bet you loves the Paul brothers, guys. Floyd Mayweather, because he's ginning up interest. Jake Paul here, it's not even his fight. He's ginning up interest in the event. Floyd Mayweather's got to love this. By my calculations, Floyd has made more money. Like, you take his entire career up to the point he fought Oscar De La Hoya. Take all the money he made up till then. He makes more money for these exhibitions now than he made for his entire career up till the point he fought Oscar. Because there's more interest from casual observers.
I'm not going to say this is bad for boxing. I want to remind everybody that a guy like Jake Paul, he's got 15.4 million Instagram followers. You know what Logan Paul is at? 19.2. Floyd Money Mayweather knows how to turn that into dollars.
Yeah.
Okay? And clearly they do as well. And in a sport where promoters have been running the sport, preventing us from getting the fights we truly, truly want to see, forcing us to depreciate boxing in a way we don't want to because we love the sport, but we want to see these guys fight, and the promoters are getting in the way, not the fighters themselves. I love the fact that Jake and Logan Paul are doing what they're doing to bring attention to a sport and also say, you don't necessarily need the promoters to have these fights anymore because they're holding us back, okay? And I'm sorry to say that includes all of them. It's the Bob Arums, it's the Al Haymans and others. Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford, we want to see this fight. What the hell are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. We want to see that fight, okay? I personally want to see the trilogy of Canelo and Triple G, which is what they're considering now. We want to see this. So in that regard, I love the fact that Jake, and I love those promoters as well, but you got to give us the fights we want to see and stop keeping us waiting so long. Having said that, here's the
like
bad part.
Like the UFC does.
That's right. Having said that, here's the bad part. To Jake Paul specifically, and I appreciate the fact that he snatched Mayweather's hat off him. That's right. Go ahead and get into it with a fighter. Don't beat up a basketball player. Don't beat up somebody that has no experience like Ben Askren. That's a UFC fighter who never boxed in the octagon. Mm-hmm. He's all about wrestling. No, you can't, you know, because you're training with professionals and you know how to fight, Jake Paul. And so to go in the ring against people who don't know how to fight, there's something wrong with that picture. They're not boxers. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's an amateur fighter. At least go into the ring with somebody that muscle memory, to use your terms, Max, that has the muscle memory to fight, to box. Okay. At least do that.
Let me say one thing really quickly, then I want to show you a picture. Huge shout out to Get Up. Thank you to the shout out for my mother-in-law, Jeannie Rose. Miss you, Ma. Happy Mother's Day. Shout out to all the mothers and all the mothers that are in heaven. And I hope everybody has a good week. And I just wanted to say that really quickly. I appreciated that. But I've got a picture for you, a little screenshot that I took. I need you guys to look at this. This is when Max said it takes luck to win a Super Bowl.
It takes luck. Luck, right, not less. Luck, right.
I said luck.
In other words, and it's
that
not
was
that
the response, so you
the
can see
issue
it in
is,
slow-mo.
The issue is, in a league where you play a best of seven, in a sport like basketball, not baseball, which is more luck dependent, the best team is going to win a best of seven. In a best of one, which is football, that's a best of one. Best team doesn't always win. You could put the best team together and never win a Super Bowl. Buffalo Bills may have had the best team 4 years in a row. They never won a Super Bowl. But in the NBA, you put the best team together, you're going to win.
What the hell does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The question was, what do you feel is tougher? NFL title or the NBA title? Nobody asked for
NFL.
A dissertation about luck
NFL.
And what it means and what sports
well, you have to define what you mean by what's
with.
Harder.
We asked you what you feel, and you still took 10 minutes to
NFL.
Tell us. That's why everybody looked like that. It's a damn.
NFL.
You don't
N-F-L.
Get it.
NFL.
You.
Well, that's the show in a nutshell.